much as I enjoy preaching, sometimes I wish we could just sing on. Such fine singing in the congregation here. And we appreciate so many who are capable of leading. If there is a copy of the morning worship bulletin in front of you, you might reach and get one. And by the way, these are designed so that you can take them home with you. It will help you to have information with you. I want you to particularly notice what's on the front of it. October, month of Proverbs. Recently, Ron Butterfield told me about a conversation that he had had with a man that he had met at one of the meetings in the field of education. This man was superintendent of one of the largest school districts in the United States. In fact, he had several assistant superintendents under him, as I understand the situation. He was considered to be one of the most successful educators, one of the most successful men that anyone knew. And by the way, during the conversation, Ron found out that he was a New Testament Christian. Someone asked him during that meeting, "To what do you attribute your success?" And he said, "Since you have asked me, I'd like to tell you what I believe is the foundation of it. I don't mean this to be preaching," but he said, "the book of Proverbs in the Bible has 31 chapters. And I try to read a chapter from the book of Proverbs on every day of the month." He said, "Most months, or many of them at least, have 31 or 30. And he said, "Whatever the day of the month is, I try to read that chapter from the book of Proverbs, and I have found that in that book I find more common sense and suggestions that help me in business than anywhere that I can go." I appreciate that statement. And I've been trying to do that for the last 2 or 3 months. If I miss a certain day, the next day I just go on to whatever that day is and read that chapter. And I'm finding that it's having effect on my life. We have decided in the month of October to encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. There are 31 days. There are 31 chapters. The 31st chapter is about the virtuous woman, and that's on Halloween. I don't know whether that's just by accident or not. But 31 chapters and 31 days, and at least once each Sunday during October, one of us will preach a lesson somewhere out of the chapters that you have been reading that week. That's what this is about on the front of this program. And again, I suggest to you, take these programs with you. Might be helpful. And every one that you take with you will mean one that will not have to be picked up in the morning by somebody. A lot of fringe benefits to some of these things, right? A few hundred yards up the creek from where I was born and reared is a stream of water that comes through a pipe out to the side of the road. That stream of water is piped from a spring that is up on the hill several hundred yards from that. I would guess that that stream of water has not stopped even during the last month, although they have had about the same kind of drought and lack of rain in that area that we've had here. I don't know that that spring has ever gone dry. And because that spring up on the side of the hill is so plentiful, there is a constant stream of water that comes down really into different sections of what would be the livestock pasture on that farm, and then is also piped from the head of that stream through that pipe down to where water can be used there by the side of the road. And sometimes those that are passing by who know where it is will stop and get a drink of that water that comes from that spring at the head of the stream. If something were to happen to that head of the stream, there would be no water coming out of that pipe down there by the side of the road. And for many years, especially, my dad tried to watch the head of the stream and keep it such that it continued flowing so that there would be water down at the bottom of the hill. I think that there is a lesson in this that we need to understand relative to doing the Lord's work. And that is that we have to keep the head of the stream right if there is going to be the right kind of water and the right supply of water down the mountain or down the hill or down in the valley or wherever we want it to go. I see a likeness in this relative to the subject of doing mission work. There is probably not a congregation anywhere that is more mission-minded than this one. I have never been associated with one that is more so. And for that, I personally am extremely thankful. I am thankful that we support the Gates in Brazil, that we support Ernest Ozimala and his family in Nigeria, full-time in their work. I'm also thankful that we are involved in the work in other parts of Nigeria, in Belgium, in other parts of the world, and even places in the United States, in helping to support people to preach the gospel in those areas. I'm thankful that we're involved in sending people on a regular basis for trips like the Huffords, for example, make to Jerusalem and have the opportunity to preach in Israel and Jordan, and also in Lebanon. I'm thankful that in a year's time, there may be as many as 75 or 100 of us, and those that we know that are supported, sometimes full, sometimes partial, to go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel. Some on a full-time basis, some maybe on a month or 6 weeks, some maybe for just a week, going throughout the world and preaching the gospel in different ways. And in a year's time, David and I are involved in several gospel meetings throughout not only this state, but several states. Since the elders are present, David, I'll not tell them how many we're involved in during the year, because we are involved in many, many of them through the week where we don't have to be gone on a Sunday. And in a year's time, I would not know how to guess the number of different men that are associated with this congregation who go out and preach in different areas a few miles from here. This congregation is very much mission-minded. But folks, at the same time that we are concerned about the stream of the gospel being out yonder in Brazil and in Nigeria and down in Mississippi and in all of these other places where we go and where others go to preach the gospel, we must also be concerned about the head of the stream. And if we do not keep our work here in this congregation growing and keep our support growing, we're not going to be able to do what we are doing and continue to do what we're doing all over the world. Sometimes I hear people say we ought to spend less at home and more in the mission field. Not necessarily so. Sometimes I'll hear people say we ought not to think about building a building or expanding a building program. And I've even had some say when we're involved in a building program, we ought not to do that. We ought to take that money and send it to mission work. And that sounds good initially till you think it through. But if we don't keep the head of the stream with the right kind of supply, are we going to be able to do the mission work that we ought to do? If we are not interested in responding to the needs locally for our Bible classes and other needs, to where we can continue to grow, not only numerically, but grow financially, will we be able to continue to do the mission work that we ought to do? I don't think so. Somehow or other, there has got to be the right kind of balance, and we can get out of kilter in either direction. I know of some congregations that are so concerned about what they're doing at home that they don't do anything anywhere else. And I have seen some situations where people became so concerned about what was going on elsewhere that they sometimes forgot about their local work. I want you to notice in the passages that were read a few minutes ago from Acts 13 and Acts 14 that we see the beginning and the end of what we usually refer to as the first missionary journey of Paul. You'll notice there in the first part of the 13th chapter that there was a large number of prophets and teachers there at Antioch, but did they send them all on this mission trip? Why didn't they say, now we've got several teachers here and several prophets, and we've got to convert the world, look at the need that's out there, and there was such a great need at that time, very little had been done to spread the gospel into the different areas. Why didn't they say, let's just all leave here and let's go and let's preach the gospel everywhere? That's not what the Holy Spirit guided them to do. He said, you separate me, Barnabas and Saul, Paul. And in a sense, he said to the rest of them, you stay here. Or at least you send them. Here were some who were going, but I want you to notice there was also some who were sending. They fasted, they prayed, they laid their hands on them. They gave them the encouragement that they needed, and they sent them away. And some stayed back here at Antioch to carry on the work there. And when Paul and Barnabas were through on this first missionary journey, or at least when they had finished this part of their mission work, they came back to the church at Antioch. And they went to the church and they reported to those who had stayed in Antioch and who evidently had continued to make it possible for Paul and Barnabas to go. They came back and reported about what had been done, and they were concerned about what was going on at Antioch at the same time that they were concerned about all these different places where they had helped to establish the church and had preached the gospel. In order to keep the head of the stream like it ought to be, it seems to me that there are at least about four things that must be impressed upon us. First, the head of the stream must be kept pure. If you want to get a lot of people sick, you just let something happen up here where the spring is coming out and where there may be a little reservoir from which the water is coming, and you let some kind of bacteria get into that head of the stream, and maybe it's going out in several directions, and people are drinking down at the other ends of all of those, and maybe many people will get sick because the head of the stream is not kept pure. Even in the case of Paul and Barnabas, it's interesting that in the next chapter, chapter 15, there arose a concern about some false doctrine. And here are your missionaries who had been on this first missionary journey, and they become involved in trying to be sure that the gospel is taught in the right way at home. We're even involved in being sent up to Jerusalem to talk to the apostles to be sure what God's word and God's teaching was on these points. They were concerned about keeping the head of the stream pure. If we send out people to preach and teach in other parts of the world and we send them out teaching something that's not according to the Bible, what good is it? In Matthew 23:15, the Pharisees and scribes were condemned because they would do anything to go anywhere to make one proselyte. And he said, when you make him a proselyte, you make him twofold the child of hell. Why? Because you're not teaching him the pure gospel. It's not enough just to go. It's enough to go with the right message. And if we're going to train and send out people with the right message, we've got to keep the head of the stream pure. One of the statements that's made in giving the qualifications for elders in Titus 1 is that one who is a leader, as a part of that leadership, needs to be able to hold forth the word of God that he may be able to convince the gainsayers. And folks, just as important as it is for us to send as many as we can around the world, it is also important for us to be sure that we keep the head of the stream pure and that the gospel is taught and supported and upheld in our work here. We encourage students to go around the world. Sometimes there's a mission emphasis week, and I'm thankful for every one of these. And I appreciate every man who comes back and talks about the work of the gospel around the world and encourages students to go. But students, not every one of you can go, and I'm not for sure that everyone should go. If I may look at this in a personal way for a moment, I don't believe I could do the work that Chester Meek is doing in Ufa, Russia. I don't believe I have the talent and the type personality to do what he is doing. I don't believe that I could accomplish in Belo Horizonte, Brazil, what F.H. Gage is accomplishing. I don't think I could go to Nigeria and do what the Hutters are doing. But I believe I can preach the gospel here and encourage people to respond and encourage us to give and give liberally and sacrificially and be able to send others. And those of us who are involved in sending are just as important as those who are involved in going. Sometimes in a parallel situation, I hear mothers say, "Oh, I just don't want to stay at home. I've got to get out there and work." And in many instances, mother may have to do that, but let me say something to you mothers. If you are staying at home and helping rear the family, you may be doing one of the most important works. And if you are a stay-at-home wife and mother, you may be just as important as the husband who is going out to earn a living or someone else who is involved. Sometimes it's those who stay at home because we've got to have the bountiful supply at home. There is a story in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, where some had been going to the war and had gone to the war and had won the battle, and they'd come back and 200 of them had stayed at home with the stuff. King James says stuff, another version says baggage. In other words, they had stayed there with what was left at home. And those who had gone out to fight the battle said, "These that have stayed here should not enjoy the spoil of the battle. We'll divide it among ourselves." He said, "No. Those that stayed with the stuff and the baggage are just as important as those who went out for the battle. It will be divided equally among them all." I think we need to promote mission work in every way that we can. We need to encourage as many as possible to go. But we ought not to feel guilty if we stay at home and work to help send those. The head of the stream is just as important as the flow that is down the mountain or down the hillside. In 2 Corinthians 11:8, Paul said, "I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service." If Paul had not had the support from these other churches, could he have done what he was doing? In Philippians 1, he talks about the fellowship that he had had from them in verse 5. And over in the 4th chapter in verse 10, he said, "Your care for me abounded again and again and again." Could Paul have done what he did on his missionary journeys if he had not had support, had those to send him and those to support him? We must keep the head of the stream pure. We must keep the head of the stream bountiful with the right kind of supply, and we must keep it free-flowing. If we dam up the stream up at the top and get a great reservoir and get all the water in that reservoir and do not let any of it flow down, people below may starve from thirst. I've seen a few congregations who like to brag about their bank account. Over the years, we've given, and we've got so many $1,000 in saving certificates. There may be reasons to save for certain things, and elders will use their discretion. There may be times that something may have to be saved for a certain project that's down the line and to be able to carry on the work. But folks, we need to keep the supply flowing freely to those who do go and those who are dependent upon our support. And that's why it is so important that we do a good job in our giving on a local level. Paul was talking about benevolent work instead of mission work in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, but the principle is the same. And he talked to them about being ready a year ahead of time, planning a year ahead of time to be able to do this specific work that he was describing. And in chapter 8, verse 7, he said, "See that ye abound in this grace also." That's why we talk about keeping our contribution up and growing. And aren't you thankful for the way we're giving this year? Making it possible to do even more than was put into our plans at the beginning of the year. We've got to keep the supply pure. We've got to keep the supply bountiful. And we've got to have the right attitude toward letting it flow out in as many directions as possible. But we've got to keep the head of the stream like it ought to be, if we're going to do the work that God wants us to do. And then there is another point that I think we need to emphasize, and that is that we need to quench the thirst of those who live at the head of the stream as well as those who are down the hillside. This congregation is one of the best that I have ever seen in doing mission work. I cannot say that, myself included, in doing local personal work. We talk a lot about it. I don't think we do as much as we talk. How many of us, even who committed oneself to winning a soul in 1999, back at the first of the year, have done very much personal contact with people? And there are people that live not far from this building and not far from where you and I live who do not have an understanding of the gospel to where they can be New Testament Christians. I would not do anything in the world to diminish our mission work in foreign countries and in other states, but I would suggest that probably we need to do a little more, and I said we, not you, we need to do a little more than we've ever done to quench the thirst of those that live close to the head of the stream as far as we're concerned, and get out and do more than we have ever done before. In Acts 1:8, the idea of spreading the gospel was it'll begin at Jerusalem, it'll go into that section of Judea, it'll go into the next section, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And we see the fulfillment of that somewhat in Acts 8. And Jesus said in Luke's account of the Great Commission that the gospel should be preached, repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations, but he said beginning first at Jerusalem. I think even there he's emphasizing we've got to keep the head of the stream strong in order to have the water flowing down the mountain to all of those who need their thirst quenched. The head of the stream must be kept pure, with a bountiful supply, free-flowing in every direction that it can, with more done at the head of the stream to quench the thirst of those who live nearby. If we ever see the work of this local congregation weaken or go backward, we will automatically at that time see our mission program weakened. We must keep the head of the stream sound and bountiful and free-flowing. And when we do that, we'll be better equipped than we ever have before. We need these people that we're supporting all over the world. We've got some of the best. And some of you that go out from time to time are some of the best. But folks, we need to do everything that we can to keep a strong local work growing in the Lord to be able to do even more than we've done in the past. Keep the head of the stream pure, full, and free-flowing. And we'll be able to carry the Lord's message to more people than we've ever thought possible. We're talking about bringing people to Christ all over the world, but I mentioned a moment ago that it's important right here. The same time that we're sending people to preach the gospel to those on other parts of the globe, let's don't forget to preach it to ourselves and emphasize the plan of salvation. We're going to tell those people they need to come to Christ. I'm telling you tonight, if you're not a Christian, you need to come to Christ right here at the head of the stream and get involved in helping to take the gospel to the whole world. If you need to be baptized into Christ or to come home, come as together we stand and sing.
While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy us, but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can arise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and